Okay, we can open up the Bible in Psalm 91. No page turning today, so I'll make it nice and easy for you. It's still about 30 degrees here in Bunbury tonight. It's balmy, balmy, balmy. I'll try and keep it nice and simple. And Psalm 91, we actually spoke about it last Monday. We had a guest at our house, Lucia and I. It was Mel. She did the Bachelorette. And then the power went off. I'm not sure if it's her fault, but the power went off again last night. But Psalm 91 is one of my favourite psalms. And it's a well-known psalm as well, of course. And I just wanted to talk about this psalm tonight and just go through a few of the verses and the promises which are made and the things we see around the world at the moment happening, and that we can just relate to this psalm and the promises God has given to us, which are fantastic promises, of course, of provision and safety and protection and everlasting life. And that's, in the end, what we're doing it for, isn't it? And all the people said. So Psalm 91, as I said, is one of my favourite psalms, and talks really about how it talks a lot about how a walk in the Lord will be and how the Lord protects us. And we start from the start, verse 41, and at the top of mine in Psalm 91 says, "Abiding in the shadow of the Almighty." And verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we were lost, and we were bogans, or we were, you know, without purpose in life, not knowing where we were going. And maybe we were religious, but still hadn't found that safety that we were looking for. And it was God's kingdom was hidden to us, that secret place, and we found that secret place. So someone preached to us, someone opened up the Word, and we were born again. And that lonesome person that we were, and maybe we were afraid, we were placed under the shadow of the Almighty. And being born again, having received the Holy Spirit, having received that promise that Jesus said he would give, we found safety and shelter in his presence. And that's a wonderful thing, because without it, if you see how the world is at the moment, it's very scary. Not only today, but yesterday as well, and the day before, and 10 years ago was scary, and 20 years ago was scary as well. But with modern day technology, you know, the scariness comes right in your face. After something happens, 2 minutes later, it's on Twitter or the news or Facebook. The world knows it straight away. News travels very, very, very fast. Verse 2, and this is one of my favorite verses. We actually use it for our wedding, Lucia and I. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." And when we put this in our wedding card, Lucia's grandma, living in the Czech Republic, hadn't opened a Bible, I think, for about 30 years. It made her open up the Bible again, and she read the whole psalm and she found it wonderful. And she said she didn't quite understand it, she just liked the words of it. But for myself, it's coming out of the world and not knowing where to go to, not having the hope, not having that confidence and that foundation of knowing where you're going to. You come to this place of rest, this sanctuary, where you know these are many, many promises which God gives of healing, of provision, of safety, and the meaning of life. And coming to this place, coming to know God was a wonderful thing, and you're just safe in this fortress. People can be throwing rocks, and catapults can be throwing those really big rocks, and people can be out the front trying to bang down the front door, but you know that God's fortress is impenetrable. No one can get through. And with the Holy Spirit, that if we pray and if we stay in fellowship and do our best to overcome, we just know that nothing can take that victory away from us. And all the people said. Amen. And there's only one person we should turn to, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who made it all possible. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got our spiritual fortress, and that guides us, it replenishes us, it gives us joy and its safety and comfort. Next verse, verse 3. This is where it starts getting a bit hairy. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And of course, there are situations which may come which create problems. We're not immune to them. You know, rain falls on the righteous and on the unrighteous. But luckily, we have a God that helps us overcome and keeps us safe. And just a small testimony. With the Ebola virus, I think that broke out in 2014 and was ravaging southern Sahara, Western Africa, early last year. And it was in Liberia. It was really, really, really quite bad. And there was this place in Liberia which was one of the worst affected areas out of all of Africa. It's called Johnsonville. And it's funny enough, we have a fellowship in Johnsonville, Liberia. And speaking to young Peter, who's Jesse's father, he's been there quite a few times. He knows that the people in the fellowship there were unaffected by the Ebola virus. And in a country where, you know, almost everyone was affected in some way or another, and especially in Johnsonville, the testimony stands that, you know, the people there were saved or kept safe by the Lord. And that is an amazing thing, especially when you know that people were dying left, right and centre. The noisome pestilence in verse 3. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler or belt or shield. And like an eagle, you know, great big eagle on the high perch on the high rocks, and has his little chicks who can't fly yet, it protects it with all that she has, with all that they have. And we, you know, we are protected from the harsh elements sometimes. We can duck for cover if we're in trouble. And of course, we've got those great scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6 about the spiritual armor that we have. We've got the shield, we've got the helmet and the breastplate, and you know, the fiery darts of the devil can't hurt us if we are built up in the Lord and coming to the fellowship. And of course, we have our tough times. We're not immune to that. But if we seek the Lord, he will help us through. Verse 5 until verse 7 we'll read. And these are the promises. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's pretty scary if you think about it. You know, 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other side. I can't really picture it. You see, like Rod was talking about before, in Syria, thousands and thousands of people just fleeing to the border, and there's already been more than 1 million people fleeing Syria in the last couple of years. More than 1 million people, and it's quite a horrendous situation now where Europe is being flooded by refugees, and they're doing desperate situation trying to get into Europe, and because of where they're living is the whole city of Aleppo, for example, which was a historical city with lots of history and artifacts, completely destroyed. Another city, Homs, also, which has been completely destroyed. And it's quite scary because, you know, in the Middle East, Russia's getting involved and the Americans are getting involved and the Western allies getting involved. And we never know what, you know, can trigger a larger conflict. But we do know that, you know, the Lord has it in hand. And whatever happens, if we just stay true to the word, you know, we'll be saved. Not necessarily, well, maybe we die, maybe we don't, but if we, you know, stay safe in the Lord, we'll be there when the Lord comes back, even if we sleep, and all the people said. And of course, lately, the Zika virus, you heard of that one? The Zika virus, spread by mosquitoes coming from South America. It's been in the Pacific area for quite a few years, a few decades, but hasn't really been a problem. But now in Brazil, in South America, the Zika virus has spread to pregnant women and and babies being disformed when they're born and causing a lot of problems, and even possibly has effect on the Olympics this year in Rio. So some countries maybe even saying we're not going to go. Not that that's really important anyway. They had the World Cup, that's all that's important to me. Unfortunately, the Dutch didn't win, but that's not the point now. In the end, the Germans always win. But it's got nothing to do with Psalm 91, of course. And it's a great thing that we have eternal life and that no man can take that away. No man can take that away. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And I just loved Mel's testimony just a moment ago, being able to, you know, step out in faith and go to this family who were in dire straits, really, and just, you know, preach the gospel and speak from your own experience of what's happened to you. And that's the most powerful thing that we have that we can talk about is your own testimony. Because you can talk, you know, different scriptures and talk about other people, but something that's happened to yourself, no one can disagree with that. Because it's, you know, the Lord that's done it, and it's something that's happened to you personally. Once you testify of that, people see in your eyes that you are speaking the truth, or people being healed or being healed from anxiety. You don't make those things up. Well, you shouldn't anyway. And, you know, we know that we are blessed and we see suffering of other people, and those who, you know, ignore or want to reject the word of God, you know, it's upon their own heads. Unfortunately, you know, we give out the gospel freely and we hope that they come along, but we can't, you know, can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And the same as people being baptized. We can lead him to the meeting, but we can't dump him in the baptism tank. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And I just love these two scriptures as well. It's through our faith, and determination, and setting those priorities, and praying in the morning and in the evening, opening up the Word, being resilient. It's not always easy. I know for myself, you know, working long hours, sometimes you struggle to find a time to, you know, take that time off to look to the Lord. And these are the most important times of the day, because really without the Lord we are nothing. And through the Lord we are more than conquerors. And if we have that faith and determination and set our priorities, we can overcome. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in thy hands, in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I think it was Pastor Tim that recently gave a talk about angels, wasn't it? Yeah?
What was it?
I just know he spoke about angels. But, angels are there. And so we don't know who is an angel, of course. Sometimes we invite angels in unawares. And the protection and the Lord gives us sometimes comes through angels. We don't know them or recognize them as angels. But the Lord is there to protect us and guide us. I just know for myself, when Lucia asked me to book her a certain trip back from Amsterdam to Perth, she said, book me on Malaysian Airlines on the Thursday. There's no chance that Malaysian Airlines will lose another plane. So what did I do? I looked at the Malaysian Airlines. I said, nah, that's too expensive. So I booked her on the Wednesday flight instead with Singapore Airlines. And the rest we know is history. That Malaysian plane never landed in the intended place. And, you know, through guidance and through sometimes things we don't even see, the Lord is helping us. And God's protection, which in the end is for his glory. It's not for our glory, but is that we can testify of his glory, of his protection. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, or snake, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. In our adversaries, enemies, if you want to call them, those fighting against God, they cannot beat us. They cannot beat us. And through God's power, we will pull down strongholds, and even the devil and his cronies, they're under our feet. And all the people said. In verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And that is the most wonderful thing, that, you know, God has loved us. we did not deserve it. I know for myself, I was a sinner, not even religious or trying to, do what he asked me to do. But by God's grace, which is, the most wonderful thing, it's freely given to us. It's mercy that we might have life and have love. And Jesus Christ, so many years ago, thousands of years ago, knew what he was doing, that he was going to die for people like you and me, and that he was going to die for people who did not deserve it. But God had a plan. Why that plan was, in the end, well, we know that to be saved, but why he did it that way, we won't know in this lifetime. But when we're up in heaven, of course, we can ask him, why did you do it that way? Yeah, so although undeservingly, we've been accepted, and we're known by him, and we know his name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. We just need to give him the glory, testify of him, and glorify in him, so others may learn of that hope that's in us. And like Mel said in the testimony as well, Lucia just likes to have that floating around where she goes from house to house, and she's able to talk to all different types of people, so she's not stuck with the same people every time. And it also gives her opportunity to witness. And not long ago, a colleague of her was healed by prayer, for the prayer that we had here in the meeting, which is fantastic. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We've got life now, but the long life will be the everlasting life. And the everlasting life could be another year, another 2 years before Jesus returns, but we're going to be living forever and ever. And that's the most greatest thing of all. And like I said, this psalm just gives the comfort. It gives, sometimes you just read it through, you think that's quite terrible, the things which are going to happen. But we know those things are going to happen, and there's not much we can do about it. So we just have to accept that. Unfortunately, we do see a lot of suffering, and that suffering will continue. And whatever happens, we just know, okay, we are this light in this world. And the suffering that we see in our vicinity or in our area, we try and reach out to people that they make the right choice of coming to the Lord and showing our testimony, showing that there is a different way. You know, we are spiritually safe with him, and despite all the things which are happening around us, and all the people said. I'll leave it there.